in the coffee room and see them. The month of March, if you buy coffee, your name gets entered into a drawing for a really nice Bible. Okay. The 14th, the men have an outing at Texas Roadhouse. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, and they're going to meet here at the church at 5:30. Get that? Men, sign up in the foyer if you're going. You're going to meet here at 5:30. On the 29th of March, there's going to be a JAMS event. It's a kids rally, and it is in Box Springs, over there in the Dallas area. So get with Sister Victoria or Sister Candy about the details concerning that. We are currently doing a calendar fundraiser for our current and future JAMS event. That's part of JAMS. They also need more volunteers to help with the JAMS classes. We sure appreciate Sister Victoria's burden to have that every Wednesday night. The kids just love that. And so on the 31st is the Ladies United Fellowship, so sign up in the foyer for that. We're going to have special prayer for some people tonight. I've been thinking about this week, I've been thinking about how wonderful it is to have a lot of connections with positive people. That little, the prayer group we have on Tuesday morning, that is such a joy to be with. The ladies are also upbeat and positive, and just most everybody connected with my life are really upbeat, positive people. And I think a lot of times you just get accustomed to living in that kind of atmosphere. But just this week, you know, when we were over there in Jonesboro checking out that disastrous situation, the the guy that was doing the repair and the plumbing, he was real negative. He said, yeah, he said, all of these big contractors that we work for, they're just out to get you. Those big contractors, they control everything, and they're really out to get you. Okay, then the next day, went to see the man that's doing the flooring. And James, he said, you know, he said, these insurance companies, they are just out to get you. He said, I've seen sometimes when they would only allow $1.99 for a piece of flooring. Now, who can replace their flooring? And so I told my husband when we left, I said, my goodness, I said, it seems like everybody associated with our situation is kind of negative. But anyhow, I'm thankful that most of the people I associate with are positive. Aren't you? Yes, thank God. That's what we're supposed to be. When people are around us, they need to leave feeling really good. My father-in-law used to say, you know, there's some people, when you've been around them, you just feel like you have had a good tonic. You are so happy and refreshed. And he said, then there's other people, when you've been around them, you feel like you need a tonic. So we do not want to be the kind of people, when people leave, they go looking for help. Okay. Well, if you want to stand, we're going to do some prayer requests tonight. We want to pray for Sister Dickie. That shot did kick in some, and so she's in less pain, but we want to continue to pray for her. Sherry Harrison is on our prayer list. Also, Cindy Crawford, Dee Cheshire, Danny Bramlett, Brother Griffith, he seems to be doing better after his second surgery. Don and Donna Howell. And if you have an unspoken request, if you'll just raise your hand, because God knows what it is. Anybody that has an unspoken request, God knows what your request is. So let's pray about these. God, we thank you tonight that we have the privilege of bringing our petitions before the throne of God, that you hear, that you care, and that you can do something about all of our requests. Tonight we pray for Sister Dickie, for Sherry, for Cindy, for Dee, Danny, Brother Griffith, and Don. And Donna Howell, you know the situation, you know the needs for healing. Let there be healing in their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for what we know that you are going to do. Also right now, can we say a prayer for Belinda Brown and her family, the loss of her son. I know some of y'all attended the funeral on Sunday or the receiving friends on Saturday night. But you know, a lot of times when you've been surrounded by all these people and then all of a sudden everybody's gone, it just really is like a big ton of bricks being on you, the grief. So let's pray right now for Belinda, that the comfort of the Holy Ghost, that God will put his arms around her. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the comforter. And tonight we pray for Belinda and her family. Let her feel your arms of comfort about her. Let her strengthen her spiritually, strengthen her emotionally. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless your name. We bless your name. If our ushers will come forward, we will take up the evening offering. Brother Wade, it's nice to have you home. Yes, we're always happy when y'all's big vacation in California is over. Y'all come back here. Thank you, Lord, for the people that support the cause of your kingdom here in Paris. May they be blessed in all the ways that they are blessing others. In Jesus' name. While they're doing the offering, would you like for us to sing our little Bind Us Together song? Okay. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. Oh, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together in love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, will you make your pastor welcome for this last session?
Well, it's good to have a good wife, according to the Bible. And we are so glad to have the opportunity to share life with great people who love a great God. You know, I cannot help but realize that in the beginning, God and his creation began there. And then when you get to the book of Revelation, he sums up all the details in the middle of the market, and that is sharing his truths and future for us. And so it's meetings like this and many other type meetings that continue to keep the church structure in a positive position to know that we were created in his image. We have the likeness of his looks. We have the virtue of his praise toward us, and the worthiness and the value of how to arrive in style when this is all over. And so this session that we have been doing, and I appreciate my wife getting that together, and it's been a good therapy for us and me particularly to go through this with us. And so tonight we sum up in lesson 6 that greatness influences, or greatness enlarges your influence. And so we're going to actually deal with several scriptures in this, and so you probably won't have time to write them all down. I mean, to read them all during the time that I'm going to mention, because there is so much meat in this setting, and you're pondering and taking time to pray over some of these scriptures will help to elevate the excitement that I experienced in trying to study these lessons. So I wrote it in my notes. I feel like a young evangelist tonight, as well as a pastor that loves you and our community. And the reason is I see a lot of glory, victory, headed toward the people in Lamar County and in this area. And so I see a lot of glory for many tomorrows. And in this whole setting of this lesson six, the author put it in large and bold print, and I like that. Greatness enlarges your influence. And so the more you learn, the more influence, the more you experience life in a individual setting, in a marital setting, in a family setting, and in a church setting, all of those begin to send out wonderful echoes from the holy city. So the Bible says, the meek shall inherit the earth. And so I will just say tonight, more glory will fill our life as a result of these past six segmented weeks. And so Ephesians 3 and 20 says to us, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I'd like for us to take just a 30-second prayer and ask God to make sure that that scripture feeds our entire being. Father, we are anxious to be fed the spirit and the power of the word. In the name of Jesus, may we go from this place stronger and more powerful. John Wesley made the statement, and I like this very well, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. I thought that was really neat, and I appreciate his etiquette in that. In moving forward, greatness produces blessings and influence and brings glory to God. So the scripture for it is 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, according to the New Living Testament. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer, then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think, imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And I find it very curious that in the middle of this setting that I'm doing tonight and during the summation of this six-week event, that I got some of the best news for my personal life, and I just thought, this is just wonderful how great our God really is about living. So, Ephesians, the third chapter, now to him who is able. And then, now, Ephesians, the third chapter and the 20th verse, in a different setting, he says, now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we should and than we would ever dare to ask or dream. I want to stop here a minute and say to us that It's never wrong to tell your mate when they are feeling unworthy or weak that God has a promise for your situation. And that's not just for us to tell our neighbors. Our closest neighbor is our wife or our husband. And so what we do, we help encourage each other for these great and mighty promises. So sharing more of God's promises that challenge us, be all you can be for His glory. So in this setting in Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And you know I've said it several times over during the past many years. A friend of ours, a friend of the family, said, well, just receiving's plenty good for me. And so I've met a couple of those people since then. Proverbs, the 11th chapter, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And so what a wonderful wisdom that Proverbs affords us there. So when you begin developing the habit of giving out, you will see countless opportunities opening up to you. And I have found that to be a very strong truth. And so as you sow seeds of kindness to enrich others' life, your own soul becomes nurtured and more fruitful. So I will never forget, I've probably told you before several times, but in Baton Rouge where we lived, and we lived over behind the church, and the church was there on America Street, and then right around the front of the building and over into the parking area, we had a little van, one of those old-timey little vans. It wasn't like a long one that's going to have 15 kids going to youth camp. It was one of those that didn't have any windows in the back. It was just one of those kind that was a van. And L.D. Dover lived in that van. He weighed about 300 pounds, and his legs were probably about that long, and his arms were fairly muscular. He was quite a musician. Oftentimes, the people from our church, Brother Slayton mainly, would take him downtown. He had a little trike, like an extended trike, and they would put him in that little trike and put him on the corner, and he'd get his elbow down here and start doing that accordion like so, and just people would drop in a little money here, there, and yonder. And I will never forget that the man just kept a great, great sense of confidence. And Brother Slayton, he just, I mean, constantly caring for Brother Dover. I know I'm one of scores of people that could never tell what that meant to a young boy seeing two elders that were both hooked up to situation that was a necessity. And so I just put it in here because when we take advantage of scriptures and relationships, pardon me, we become such a door of opportunity. And so I will also never forget that a time that I've mentioned, I know several times, that had a scooter and drove up to the right side of my brakes had quit, and so I drove up to the right side, and Mr. Jenkins turned to the right, and of course I went up under there, and you know, the thing I've told you before, just catty cornered across, was a funeral home. And so I was really reawakened to God's ability in something so phenomenal. And then not only did Mr. Jenkins go to the hospital, but Mr. Jenkins made sure he took me to lunch as soon as I could get loose from all of the other. And he was just such a polite person. So I know this from experience. You don't have to have them be close friends to have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, a God that's able to take advantage of somebody that had never met me and probably will never, or probably never did, forget me for sure. So in your own words, why don't you sum up in just a quick occasion, not necessarily to say it, just for yourself. What does influence mean to you? How far do you want your influence to go? How far can it reach now? What is it worth to those who are close to you, or maybe a little distance, and all they can do is to see? Maybe a kind smile. Maybe they find out that you did a great deed or a kind deed. It really doesn't seem to be a real problem to notice people have problems. But the church, the healer, the body of Christ, greatness lives right here. Could we thank him for the greatness already that we have experienced up to now? All of us have great testimonies, great moments of deliverance. God, on this Wednesday night, we celebrate the bloodline. We celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the ability to communicate with you in prayer. We celebrate brothers and sisters who in like precious faith walk daily in the affluence of a Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Hallelujah, that's it. Let's just clap our hands to the Lord. What a God on this wonderful Wednesday night. Your influence is a significant opportunity. But the writer writes a little further in this one. And he says, at the same time that you have a significant opportunity, you have a major responsibility. And we see that in Christ. It was responsibility that caused him to suffer on the cross. It was a responsibility. He knew that there would not be a chance in the world without a new bloodline and a name that had such a posterity associated with it. And so the wonderfulness of that responsibility and influence is so phenomenal. So if there's somebody that would give us an illustration of what you would maybe just call a problem, you don't have to define the problem, but you just would like to say that you had a situation and God really came through. Maybe one or two of you that in the middle of this little lesson. Mind if I sit with you?
I won't ever see any money going from one person to the other. I don't say that I had nothing to do with it. People can say they work hard, they can say they did this, they can say this and that. Only thing I did was make the payment 3 years.
Praise God.
You know, I didn't do anything. The Lord did that for me.
Hallelujah.
Within an hour, the man called me and I told him what
makes me want to sing when I think of the goodness of Jesus. I'm not going to sing. I just said it made me want to. So John Wesley said, yes, stand up and share it with us. Praise God. Awesome. Awesome. And I'm sure glad too. Let's look at the Old Testament just a little bit with Jabez. The prayer of Jabez has been paraded, and what a wonderful thing. But who was Jabez? His story hides in 1 Chronicles, one of the least read books in the Bible. First nine chapters of the book are taken up with the official family tree of the Hebrew tribes, beginning with Adam and proceeding through thousands of years to Israel's return from captivity. 44 names into the chapter, a story breaks through. There are only two verses of Scripture that mention Jabez. He is remembered because he prayed. A powerful prayer. Can you remember somebody praying for you? Why don't we just pause a minute and thank God for a mother, a dad, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher. Somebody prayed for us.
Jesus' name.
I haven't said it enough, but right here is a good place for me to underscore what this overall lesson is, and that is influence. Greatness leads us to influence or to cause something good or powerful to happen in others' life. Jabez requested four things from God. And you may want to just put the last part of each one down somehow in your mind or on your paper. That God, you would bless me. God, enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. the anointing and keep me from falling into harm or evil. I wish we'd pray for our young people right now that those four things would cloud up rain over those people that need it. Father, the United Pentecostal Church body gathers together tonight in our thankfulness and your greatness. And I pray angels to canopy every school, every home. And I pray, God, that the light be so bright in apostolic theories and realizations that hope would burn like a fire in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Actually, okay, yes. What kind of impact does God's blessing or his hand with you have being kept from harm have on the enlarging of your territory? It's not something that I'm wanting you to say out loud tonight, but I think it is a good thing for us to sort of think of Jabez's thing and think how God has given us a little bit of what the testimony was just a few minutes ago. And here's this, we're moving right into that in the lesson tonight. So there was more to Jabez's prayer than just a desire for more real estate. It was a broader border of the lands that he touched or owned. It was not just about him. It was about, oh, that you would enlarge my territory. You ever felt trapped in everyday situations? That's what the enemy would love to make us feel like. I'm telling you, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the door, he meant it. There is always a future beyond the trapped moments. Time to threaten the powers of hell rather than them threatening us. I refuse to live with blinders on my eyes and never see beyond the four walls of my home. I see a God that is real. I see a God that is an ever-present help. I see a God that has already done everything that he promised in his book. I see a God that's coming to get the people that are looking up, that are looking and ready for his glorious appearing. The difficulties of life are small compared to the promises of the King. The difficulties of life would try to rob us of the virtue of a promise that has lived and put in place more than once over. Moving your boundary lines is one of the next statements here. Growing in grace, or taking a chance on moving further than we've ever been. If Jabez would have worked on Wall Street, he might have prayed this prayer. I like the way the writer wrote this. Lord, increase the value of my investment. I thought that was just awesome. Because the value of some cars, Brother Ronnie, let's say a 1940 car that's just pumped up and looks nice, what would it go for nowadays? Has anybody got one for sale? You see what I'm talking about? Everything that ages and everything that looks different doesn't mean it's lost its value. God don't think you're less valuable because you've had hurts and pains. And in this setting, on this last of these nights that we have been working with this, I just thought it was so immeasurably wonderful that the greatness that is put here will influence, and that's what the whole chapter is all about, is after greatness takes its position, it influences the children to want to follow our path. It influences the city to want to come to our church building. It influences the people that are not quite as advanced in Jesus to look again at the rest of the book. And I want us to pray right now for every pastor in this city, every pastor in this county, that God will do what he did for others, and that is open their eyes to more and to open our eyes to the rest of the story.
Father, we're not just here to be here. We are here with an encounter to you. I need you, but I want you. I want your victory. I want your love. I want your mercy. I want your forgiveness. I want every part of this. I praise you today.
Praise God. As we grow and expand spiritually, our faith gets stronger, and thus God can help us to handle more. And so he says, faith without works is dead. So the more work that we work the works of God, the more expansion in our personal life. And so Proverbs, the wise man, writes in chapter 28, he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. And then Jeremiah's writing, for I know the plans, the Lord said, I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Oh, praise God. And then in 3 John, John, of course, he had his strained moments. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Praise God. And so in the setting that we're looking at, we are wanting to be in a positive position no matter what is going on. And so for me to stand on the heights of God's plans, he trains our hands for battle. This is in Psalms, the 18th chapter. My arms can bend a bow. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. Is there a hallelujah in the house for that? Hallelujah. And that old song says it all. I once was lost, but now I'm found. He reached down, and his mercy lifted me up. It is a beautiful thing to be a part of the body of Christ. It is a beautiful thing to be the children of the Most High. It is a more beautiful thing to know that we are headed home. Hallelujah. My heart burns within me tonight as I teach in ministry of this thing. The challenge, according to the Word of God, if it's when you thrust yourself into the mainstream of God's plan for the world. It's God's plan that you be a light. It's God's plan that you be the salt. It's God's plan that you be the strength. It's God's plan that you have the river of faith so that no one in our community is ever at a loss to think that God's dead and he can no longer do the works that he did in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm telling you, to be born again is a whole lot more than joining a local assembly. Being born again is the ability to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, where nothing by any means can take us down. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have tough times. We don't say that we don't. What we do know is, no matter how many times we get kicked down or kicked around, we've got a God that's a healer. He's a deliverer. He is a conqueror. He is coming back for us. It is not just about going to a building. The challenge is, I will never give up on him. He didn't ever give up on me. I had some bad times. I've walked with some bad things, with bad people. And I want to tell you that our God is able. I will never forget the horror of a brother that had gotten way off of out of sync with the things that he knew. And now he spends hours reaching out for those people that he found his life a part of. So my personal prayer for God to fill me with passion and enlarge my territory, and that is, you have to do that. I just got it on this paper. Here are some ideas that may help you as we come to the close of this evening. As you enter into your time of prayer and your meditation or reflection, pray the Jabez prayer. That's 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. If you're writing notes, that's the Jabez prayer. Write down the prayer of Jabez and place it somewhere where you'll often be reminded of your vision. Find someone to be accountable to during the season of expanding and stretching. In other words, what he's saying is that as you grow in grace and in knowledge, the typical setting is join a church, go to this, and get a little routine, and that's it. But when you start growing in grace and in knowledge, your life begins expanding, and you come out of heaven, and the Bible uses the term, God became sin who knew no sin, that we through him might become the righteousness of God. And the way the simplicity of that is that God came through a virgin, Mary, and a flesh child, Jesus Christ, that in that flesh he was tempted in all points such as we, and yet he would not violate, even though he was in a sinful body, a flesh body, that craved the same thing of all the lusts that we do. But in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The oneness of God is just a security point for anybody who realizes it. It's not an argument. It is a truth. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There were never three people, but he did have three elevations, and that was the wonderfulness of a body that would be the sacrifice that would put every one of us in place. And so God puts this in place, and then he ascends into the heavens, and he said, but I will not leave you forsaken. I will come to you in the hour. And so he said, I will send the promise of the Father to you. And that's what it means to be born again of the water and the Spirit. That's what it means to get the Holy Ghost and talk in a heavenly language. It's no longer an earthly language. When you talk in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gives the utterance, you are speaking a promise that was put in place thousands of years ago from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I gladly preach him to anyone and love everyone. Could we pray for our city right now? Father, our county, our city, our homes, our children, our mothers, our dads, whosoever will, let them come and drink of the water of life freely. God, we are not just an island. We are a point of power and privilege. I will never forget, as we close, Dad surrendered one of the strongest churches in the UPC of Louisiana. He pastored the Baton Rouge Church. And he said, cannot get away from the place I was born. He lived about 10 miles out, Josephine, from Greenville. And there was not an apostolic church at that time in Greenville. And he said, I cannot just have the beauty of something so great here and see the land where I lived and see it without an apostolic oneness church. And I thank God that I was with him, because I watched him suffer. And I think I've told you this, but I want to say it again in closing tonight. Dad had a brother, Clyde, and Uncle Clyde sold parts, used parts, new parts, whatever. He had a little van. And he would come by every now and then and stay with us. And so this particular morning, I was walking to school, and as I left, Dad and Uncle Clyde were really fussing real strong. Matter of fact, Uncle Clyde had his foot on that old clutch, that old motor revved up in that van, and he was rocking that thing. He'd let off on that clutch, and that van would go back, and then he'd roll back. And that was what I saw last. You lied to me, bud. No, I didn't, Hewlin. You lied to me. That's what I heard last as I walked to school that day. Both of them preachers. I kicked every stick on the sidewalk. Every tear I could muster up, I walked the 8 blocks to school. And I was regretting having to go back home. But you know what? When I got there, that old van was still there. I walked in the house. As soon as I walked in, Holy Ghost preacher said, Bob, come here. We had a restroom in the back middle of the house and had a door on either side. Took me in, latched both doors. 6'3". 270 pounds, got down on his knees in front of an eighth grader at that time. He said, son, I want to ask your forgiveness for the way I treated my brother, and I want to ask your forgiveness for having to go through it. And I want you to pray with me that I will be a better dad. Well, you can tell I had quite a feeling. And he said, stay here. He said, Bud wants to talk to you. I knew they'd had a revival. Same situation. Bob, I want to pray that you'll forgive your Uncle Clyde. I cannot thank God for that kind of raising, and I hope that we never lose that kind. This deal about Jesus is wonderful. I wonder if we'll always stand together, that we could pray for our city, and pray for every preacher in our city, that the glory of the Lord would just fill our county. Father, we're not here for ourselves only. We want to be a beacon. We want to be a glorious light. We want to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We want a revival to happen on the loop in our homes. We want revival everywhere that we can help, in the missions, in the evangelisms. I praise you today. Hallelujah. And I'd like for you men to lead out in just some good, strong thanks to God. However, just for 1 minute or so, just, God, thank you for giving us what we already have. And thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this evening where our hearts are born of your Spirit. And we join our hearts with the needs of this hour. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So, to sum it up again, your influence goes way beyond what you know. And that's what this greatness setting has all been about. All six things, and I appreciate my wife getting that together for us, because it's done me a lot of good. And I want us to realize that these six times that we have met on under this greatness sums up in the final, our influence is going to affect our children every day, our neighbors in every way. So God bless you. Yes.
Do y'all know how that if you listen to Paul Harvey, he would always have, and now for the rest of the story? Well, I needed to say this in defense of that lady that did not want my husband to marry me. You know, we did get married, and of course a number of years passed, and she got transferred from Shreveport to Houston. She worked for Pensel. She got transferred to Houston and went to Brother Kilgore's church. So many, many years later, I ended up here in Texas organizing ladies' conferences that we held in Lufkin. And Doris was always there. And every year after one of those ladies' conferences that I had organized, she would always find me. And she would say, Donna, I am so sorry that I discouraged Bob from marrying you. She said, you have made me so proud just seeing you up there leading this conference. She said, it has just made me so proud. She did that every year. So, anyhow, you never know.
I want to give a little praise report. 6 years ago in January, I had a spot on the side of my face, and a dermatologist took it off. They did a pathology. To make a long story short, it ended up being melanoma. I was diagnosed with melanoma. And so I went through a couple surgeries, and I went through a year of treatment, and, you know, God just took care of me. And I remember the night that I was told, I was on my way home from work, and my dermatologist called me on the phone, and I wasn't expecting anything. I was oblivious, wasn't expecting it to be anything serious. And when he told me, I was pretty devastated, and it really hit me hard because I just didn't think something like that would ever happen to me. And I remember we had church that night, and I went in and I asked my pastor I told him the situation, and he asked me, well, do you want me to tell the church about it? And I said, yeah. I said, I need people praying for sure. So I didn't have a problem because I know some people are kind of, you know, I don't know, embarrassed about something when they have something going on with their health, but I wasn't that way at all. It's like, I want everybody praying for me. So anyway, that night I remember going to the front and a bunch of men came around and prayed for me. You know, from that night forward, I never had any fear, any doubt, and that God was going to have it all under control and he was going to take care of everything. And I just want to give the praise report. I went to my oncologist last Monday for my yearly checkup. And after he did his initial checkovers of lymph nodes and things like that, he just looked at me and smiled. And he says, there's no reason for you to ever come back to me and see me anymore. You got a clean bill of health. You don't need any more CT scans. And you're well and good. And so I just want to give God thanks for that and praise for that. I don't take that for granted. I'm very thankful, and I just want to make sure God gets all the praise.
And just tell Sister Michelle we love her too. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you so much for keeping.